this decision through, all of us in Iowa that are active, about one out of every 15 will show up at the caucus on January 3rd. And that'll be the Democrats and the Republicans, and we are all weighing this heavily. We've had a responsibility and also an opportunity for direct access to the presidential candidates. Some of the people in this state have sat down one-on-one with each of the candidates. Many people have met every single candidate at one time or another, and many have read the speeches or listened to their speeches in person and then done the email exchange and the statewide and even nationwide conversation that we have going on here. And so a lot of people haven't made up their mind. One could wait until January 3rd to do that. I looked at my responsibilities here and recognized that I've had more access than anybody I know, and I'm very grateful for that. I think it gives me, though, an extra responsibility, and I began to contemplate what would it be like if I soaked up all of this information and used up the candidate's time and then went back into secret deliberation on the night of the 2nd or the afternoon of the 3rd of January and then went into my caucus and filed a secret ballot and slipped out of there. I just don't think that's the leadership that you're asking for from me. And all of us who are elected into public office are at least endorsed in part for our leadership. And so I think I have a responsibility. And if I wait until January 3rd, then there's no impact there. The responsibility is to step up to this now. And that's why I put a date on the calendar, except it was going to be tomorrow with today to get ready for it. So it is today, though. And I also want to say some words about the people that I get the privilege to serve with. And we're looking at the polls, and we have a sense about who has political capital and who's gaining it and who may not be gaining it. But if I go on the internet and I go down through the issues and I check the boxes and then click the button, it'll tell me that Duncan Hunter is the most closely aligned with me on those issues. Now, I don't know how good the software program is, but that's the name that comes up consistently. I served with him in Congress, and I'm a great admirer of Duncan Hunter, and he has definitely left his impact on Congress. And you know, I wish he had more traction. He does not. Another person that I have profound respect for, and someone whom I call a very, very close friend, is Tom Tancredo. And my wife Marilyn and his wife Jackie are almost daily emailing each other. There's a friendship there that goes beyond a collegial kind of a relationship that you get from working together. And we have talked, and he understands that I'm going to make an announcement here today. But I want to say about Tom Tancredo that he's won. He's won this immigration issue. Every Republican candidate has taken the oath to oppose amnesty. We didn't know what this issue was when Tom Tancredo first took to the floor. And when I went to Congress, he was standing there pounding away and beating on the drum. And as I went down just to listen, he invited me to speak. And we have been speaking and singing off the same page ever since. Each candidate has adopted some of his political capital in adopting his position on immigration. Tom Tancredo's won. And I want to congratulate him for that. And I think that the brains in this country and the news media should recognize that he has made a tremendous impact for a single member of Congress to come this far and get his issue put into the mouths and in the planks of the platform of every presidential candidate on the Republican side. I also serve with Ron Paul, and he is a strict constitutionalist. And I greatly admire the positions that he has taken on the Constitution, and I'm glad to see the support that he has here. We differ on the issues of trade and isolationism. I think the United States have a broader responsibility and will have to pay the price now or pay the price later. And so I congratulate Ron. He's quite a phenomenon here in this country. And so as I go down this list, you can kind of sort this out. There are five of them left on this list. And I want to tell you also that I look at these issues a little bit differently than most, perhaps. I laid out a series of issues that are important, and I just read through them quickly. Social Security reform, health care, tax reform, Second Amendment gun rights, global war on Islamic jihad, and the pro-life issue and the marriage issue, illegal immigration and national sovereignty. All those things are in front of us, and they're all being debated across the state and across this country. And now there are two kinds of issues, though. There are issues that change our quality of life, issues we need to maintain and improve and constantly be working on. And then there's issues that redirect our destiny that we can't ever get back to that point again, or maybe we never get the opportunity to lay a foundation. And so I looked at these issues that I've listed and began to take some off of the table because they're quality of life issues, not so much national destiny issues, even though they're important. And Social Security reform, we tried that. And now, you know, democracy and this constitutional republic functions under the lash of necessity. So I don't think Social Security becomes the issue. And I push that off to the side, work on it, yes, but not a destiny issue. Same for health care. Democrats and Republicans will be sure that there's improvement in health care and access to it for everyone. That's part of our culture now, and we will do that. Tax reform. As much as I would like to reform taxes, as much as I'd like to shift the political center with a tax program, I don't see that that's going to be the issue that changes our destiny as much as a couple of others. Even this global war on Islamic Jihad, we're going to fight this. Every Republican is going to fight it, save Ron Paul. Every other Republican will fight this global war on Islamic Jihad to one degree or another. If they attack us again in this country, this will convert Obama. So we're going to fight this war. It may be a destiny issue, but it's not a critical issue to where this nation goes, not as critical as the issues I'm coming to. See, I'm down now to life and marriage. And those issues will be fought out in the states and in the Congress and in the Supreme Court. And I believe the issue of eventually a truly constitutional decision to overturn Roe versus Wade and root our decisions back on the text and the original understanding of the Constitution and the amendments as ratified needs to happen. It will happen if we have a president make a couple more appointments to the Supreme Court along the lines of Roberts and Alito. I will tell you that President Bush needed a little help with one of his nominations. I think any president, no matter how solid they are, is going to need a lot of help from all of us for those nominations, and we should be ever vigilant because so much hangs in the balance. That will be the legacy of this next president for a generation beyond, as the decisions will be made by the Supreme Court after the appointments will be made probably in the next term of office. Those are critical, life and marriage, but wrapped up in protecting this Constitution, which is this essential thing for me. Then we have the issues remaining of immigration and our national sovereignty. And I'll tie those together. Our national sovereignty has been eroded significantly over the last 10 to 20 years. We've had diminishing enforcement of immigration law. I will tell you there's nothing Congress can do to force a president to enforce immigration law. It's not there. We don't have the power in the Constitution to do that. All we can do is pass laws and appropriate and set the policy, but the president and the executive branch has to carry it out. If he doesn't execute, we don't have an alternative to make that president execute. So that president, the next president, has to have the conviction that we're going to enforce at the borders, we're going to enforce at the workplace, but primarily it is reestablish the rule of law. And we can do it incrementally, we can do it by attrition, but the rule of law must be reestablished because the central pillar of American exceptionalism is the rule of law. And so when I get down to the end, I push these other issues off over here and said they're important, but the Constitution, protected by two appointments to the Supreme Court, is essential, and the preservation of our national sovereignty is also essential, and I want to support a presidential candidate that will preserve and protect those principles, and if those principles are taken care of, then we've worked on and repaired the foundation of this nation and this culture, and this culture produces its leaders. And so we have to have a good foundation to produce good leaders. And the leaders that we raise up now will be the leaders that lay the foundation for the leaders that grow out of that in the future. So that gives you a sense of how critical this is from my view. And it is a very heavy decision, among the hardest decisions that I have ever made in my life, and one of the latest coming. So I'm down to five candidates. I want to say this about Rudy Giuliani, the America's mayor. And he served in a stellar fashion. Really made a difference with his broken windows policy in New York. And New York is a far cleaner and safer city. I differ with him on a few issues. And I'm concerned that the mayor of a sanctuary city would have some difficulty not producing a sanctuary nation, which we already have. And it's important for us to back away from that. And so as much as I admire the job he's done, that's where I part company, at least for the time being. And of course you know that whoever the nominee will be, I'll be an enthusiastic supporter of. And with John McCain. John McCain has served America every day of his adult life. He is a tremendous American hero, and no one can challenge that. No one can match his record. And I know some of the people that served with him in the Hanoi Hilton, and I hear those stories from the inside. This is a very solid, patriotic man. We know where he stands on the comprehensive immigration policy. And also, he has parted company with Iowa, and by parting company with ethanol and the farm program. And so I don't think it's any surprise there. But keep in mind, 300 million people in America, and I am a great admirer of John McCain. Then I'm down to the remaining three. And I will tell you that Mike Huckabee, you can't not like Mike Huckabee. Mike is just a powerfully attractive man. His sense of humor is fantastic. I don't know a good bass guitar from a bad one, but he brings a lot of tools to the table, along with a great sense of humor. And I don't have any question about him on life or marriage. He is as solid as anyone there is on that issue. I do question some of the immigration policies that he has supported in Arkansas, and it makes it, and for me, as a ranking member of the Immigration Subcommittee, I have to draw the bright line on the rule of law. I have to draw the bright line on amnesty. And by the way, I don't hear any of the presidential candidates defining amnesty. But amnesty, to grant amnesty, is to pardon immigration law breakers and reward them with the objective of their crime. That's really it, plain and simple. You give them a pardon, a path to citizenship or permanent residence, or you ask them to go to a home country and go through a turnstile, get their ticket punched, and come back to the United States and give them a path to citizenship. If you do that, or if they get that, then you have rewarded them for the objective of their crime, whatever it is. And if we do that, then there's no way we can enforce the rest of our immigration laws. And I hope that's understandable and might be able to address that later. But at any rate, that's where I have to draw the line, and as much as I admire and appreciate. And so I'm down to, of course, to Romney and Thompson. And in the end, I have to come down on the side of this. Who am I the most comfortable with on the issues that I believe in? You know, we all got together as Republicans. We wrote the Republican platform. And we laid out the planks in that platform. And we worked it hard. We'll start again on January 3rd, and we'll start all over again. Piece by piece, plank by plank, intensely debated, worked all the way from the precincts all the way to the state convention. It's in print. It's on the webpage. And that platform, when I see someone who I know believes in their core, that they stand with that platform, I don't have to wonder about what kind of decision that they're going to make when they're behind closed doors in the Oval Office, or when they're gathering supporters in and advisors in to help them with that decision. When they make a decision, if they're where I am philosophically, I'm going to presume they're going to make the decision that I'd like to make if I had the information and access to that information that they have. And so after really, and I'll tell you, I didn't sleep last night, but I come here to the podium to tell you that I have great respect for all the candidates, and I admire them all, and I personally like them all. And anyone who will put themselves up for a race for president and see their family life scrutinized and every minute of their day in life observed, bring their families out here to get to know Iowans, and constantly flow through this state over and over again, deserves our respect and our appreciation, and we should say thank you to them. And I do want to say thank you to them all. And so what I will be doing, in fact, is making sure that I take this statement down pretty precisely, and that is, the cultural calamity towards which we are headed is the focus of my life. I believe America was founded by Christians, and that the broad core of our culture is Christian. It was founded by Judeo-Christian values. I do not believe America or the American presidency is closed to any other faith, let alone Christian faith. I believe our destiny as a nation is in the hands of God, but as individuals, we have free will. Some are so passionate in their beliefs that they believe they have the market cornered on salvation. In fact, if we didn't believe our faith was the true faith, there wouldn't be any reason for competing denominations. But none of us knows who might have the market cornered on salvation. None of us knows who that true path is, what that true path is. Only God knows. And we should judge people according to how they witness, how they conduct themselves when they present themselves to us. And so I think it's inappropriate to draw conclusions about what we think someone else's faith might be. If they live an exemplary life, we should be able to support them for president. But in the time I've been evaluating the candidates, I've dealt with them in every arena. I've probed their private thoughts and measured their responses. I've gotten to know their families. I've watched and sometimes helped shape their policies. I've measured their instincts and made at least a guess on their intelligence. There's only one candidate who epitomizes the full spectrum of our conservative values. There is one who is a comfortable conservative whom I have full confidence in his decisions. That candidate also has the fire in his belly to go the distance and the brains and resources to get there. And if it's not there, I intend to work hard to put it there. That candidate also meets the test of life and marriage, judges and borders. That candidate has taken solid, persistent, and principled positions consistent with the Republican platform, which we wrote to inform the candidates of the positions of Iowa Republicans. That candidate has a record of faith, family, and freedom and service and success. There is no question about that candidate's position on protecting our sovereignty at the borders, in the workplace, and on the streets of America. The rule of law will be reestablished in American life. My long and exceptionally deliberative evaluation of the Republican candidates for president has come to an end. I will put all my efforts into the and the fire into the belly of the person whom I believe destiny has called to be the next president of the United States. I will be working for and supporting Fred Thompson for president. Thanks for that rousing applause back there, Bob. Are there any questions from the press?
How many candidates asked for your support?
Most. I don't know that I can say all, but I certainly sat down and talked with each of those, with the exception of Rudy Giuliani, and that offer was there, but I didn't think it was appropriate to use his time.
So you sat down with everybody else?
One time or another, yes. Oh, I forgot to tell you this part. Nobody knew what I was going to say until that last word. That was like leaving out the big piece from the beginning. No one knew. And that means my wife maybe still doesn't know. Jeff found out right now, youngest son Jeff. Our campaign just found out. But I wanted to make sure that this was as above board as it could possibly be. There were already things floating around on the internet as far back as 2 or 3 weeks ago that there would be some kind of trade-off and there'd be something promised to me. And I wanted to make sure no one knew what I was going to say or do so that any of those questions at least be diminished, if not eliminated. This is too important to be negotiating any kind of an agreement. This stands alone, and there have been no discussions or any promises made with any presidential campaign. And I kept it absolutely to myself. I told no one until I told you. Well, I didn't know until I asked for this press conference that he was arriving in Iowa at 9 o'clock this morning, so he must be somewhere campaigning pretty hard. And I know I've got to go back to Washington, so I've got a few days to figure out what might happen. But I certainly intend to, I'll cooperate with our campaign. Maybe they don't want this endorsement, but I kind of think so. And I'll be happy to work with them and cooperate with them. That's always I can only guarantee my own vote. I think that's an objective way to say it. Iowans will make up their own mind. We are fiercely independent, and we're stubborn, and sometimes we are counterintuitive. And we never know whether things are going to work as a plus or a minus for us. But I have great respect for Iowans, and when you gather information from people that are out there focusing on this, it's a valuable source of information. But I believe that because I've had more material to work with than anybody I know, at least, I had an obligation to say so and do it now. If that helps some Iowans with some more clarity of their approach. And by the way, I wrote up a document last night that puts this all into words. It actually took me all night to get that done. It wasn't something I could delegate. But I thought it was important that I put it in print so I could send that out to you and you'd have something to work from. It's not necessarily the words that I used here, but it's the substance of the rationale that I delivered. It comes up, but you know, I'm kind of an antidote for that, so we'll see how that works.
Representative, you mentioned your support and your friendship with Tom Baker. Why did you choose not to support him?
Well, I think that what has happened is the other candidates have pulled his political capital away from him by co-opting his issue. And to that degree, I think he's a resounding success, and that's why I wanted to emphasize that. He's a smart politician. He understands the dynamics, and he has to make his own decisions, and he understands I have to make mine. But I absolutely applaud him, and I think if the day comes and we're around 20 years from now, we'll sit on the porch and talk about this together.
As you handicap our state, now that you're behind Senator Thompson, where do you think he's got to make it? Does he have to do a top three, a top four? What does he have to do to really survive this long battle?
You know, I think I'll let you all handicap that. Now it's me to go to work and do what I can do. So we'll let Iowans figure that out. It isn't that long, so it isn't like we're hanging in the cusp for a year. It's just a few days or a few short weeks. If there's nothing else, I do have some things I need to go do. So I could catch a plane. I understand the weather's bad out there in Washington. So I'll be heading that way. Thanks for being out here this morning, and we'll see you on the campaign trail.